What do you know? It's Tuesday. The Audible is on the air. It's a post-Christmas edition of the Audible. Kim Bocamper, John Congemi with you. Let's just call this, we're between Christmas and New Year's. Let's just call this the Festivus edition of the Audible.
Okay.
Huh? It's neither one or the other. You're just kind of Festivus.
Yeah.
And we can kind of do a little thing. We can throw some, you know, as we approach the new year, we can throw lumps in the coal, grade people up and down. Like, we can grade the staff here up and down. Leon.
Well,
Jeff,
I thought those grades were in.
Logan, Trey, well, they're in.
They
just haven't been disseminated
while
out there, so
okay.
Maybe we'll get to them in a little bit here. But I hope everybody out there had a Merry Christmas, and those of you that are celebrating other events in the holiday season, wish you happy holidays all the way through. But for those of you that yesterday was the big day, and John, how was your Christmas with the family?
It was awesome. You know, it was awesome. Got to spend some time with family I hadn't seen for a while, in from Canada, so had a great time in beautiful weather in South Florida.
Yeah, it was awesome, getting awesome down here with the weather. But, you know, it's at this point in my life, it's just nice to be with my family, you know.
Yes.
Get the kids around, have everyone at home, and, you know, kind of do some drink a little wine, watch a little TV.
Don't have to go.
Watch some movies.
Don't have to go too far. Right?
No. I don't think I didn't. I got up in the morning and stayed in the same clothes till I went to bed.
That's the way to do
stayed
it.
Stayed in the same thing.
I mean,
and just
if you
sat
can
around.
Master that,
yep.
You've got it done.
It was the best.
It's a happy day.
Absolutely the best. Leon, I heard you got some nice Christmas gifts. Thong underwear you got? I heard. Did that come in the?
It was the leopard.
The stocking?
I thought it was the leopard he was talking about earlier.
No, leopard and lion.
And lion.
Right? Or tiger. I mean, a little tiger. You know, tiger stripes. He likes the tiger stripes and stuff like that.
There's no need to pose now, Leon.
Can you imagine that? Can you imagine that?
Yeah.
The thought of Leon looking in the mirror with his new thongs on? Huh?
You know what? It's going to be a quick show. It's going to be a quick show if we have to think about that.
All right. Well, let's get to where we are here. The Dolphins, after their loss to Buffalo, 6-9, it was 29-13 the final.
That's it.
In that game. And John, to me, that game felt an awful lot like Buffalo the week before. Whereas you're early on, you're in the game, you're kind of hung around, and then for a while against Buffalo, you felt like you kind of had it under control. Not quite the same Kansas City, but you hung around in the first half, felt like you had an opportunity there. And the game to me, John, was really like a microcosm of the season.
Yeah.
And you look at their record, 6-9, and I look at that record, and that's a self-inflicted 6-9. Because to me, the vast majority of games that the Dolphins lost this year were in large part due to self-inflicted wounds, penalties, mistakes.
Lack of scoring,
not being where you're supposed to be, balls thrown with a receiver going one way and going for a post pattern and end up going towards the flag and the ball. You know, it's been a season like that, which is frustrating, John, because I think you, I and a lot of people felt this was going to be a better football team than this record indicates. But also from a positive standpoint. It'd be one thing if you watched every game and go, man, these guys are just getting their ass handed to them.
They're not very close.
They're not very good. They can't compete. They're not giving effort. I don't think we saw any of that, which optimistically looking forward means that if you can clean up those things, if you can find a way to discipline this football team a little more, particularly when it comes to penalties and all these types of things and turnovers, then you're right in the thick of it. Because I think when you look back at this season, John, and look at the losses, including this one in Kansas City, including Buffalo the week before, including Tampa, including
Oakland,
including the Jets early on in the season, there's no reason that you know, the majority of those losses could have been wins had you not shot yourself in the foot over and over and over again.
For me, Bo, this is the reverse of last year's season.
Yep.
All the close games that the Miami Dolphins won last year, all the ways that they found different alleys and venues to get an interception, to get a first down, to stay on the field, to get off the field defensively, to block a kick, to pin an opposing team inside the five and then get the football back with a chance to win. All of those things didn't happen. This year it was the missed interception by McDonald up in Buffalo that could have went the other way. It was the missed interception last week or Sunday in Kansas City before halftime that could have went the other way.
Had opportunity with
had an opportunity, and you know, three and out by the defense, and the offense kind of, you know, gives it right back. All those scenarios that that went for the Miami Dolphins last year went against the Miami Dolphins this year. And don't get me wrong, there were a lot of self-inflicted wounds that the Miami Dolphins imposed upon themselves with penalties and with, you know, lack of execution and lack of cohesiveness on an offensive or defensive part. But there are games out there that the Miami Dolphins should have won, found ways to win, and you flip this record, you know, with two of those or three of those games, you're talking about going into the week, you know, the last week of the season, you know, with a chance to get into the playoffs.
No doubt about it. And you look at these games and the way they were, it just, you know, the other thing, John, and the same thing happened the week ago in Buffalo, that's why I say it seemed kind of, the game's very similar, was the inability of the Dolphin defense, or particular early on, to get off the field, not only in third downs, but third and long.
Yeah.
Third and long situations. I think they had second and 20 at one time, and they went on to kick a field goal in the game. Or wait, yeah. They had third and 15. They went plus 52.
Right.
They ended up scoring a touchdown on that drive. And then you had the play. You had the play where, you know, you got the quarterback penned up. You got. And he
goes for five.
And gets the first down.
Yeah.
You know, Juke T.J. McDonald gets it after for all intents.
I thought
he was sacked twice in the backfield, Alex Smith. And then somehow, not only does he get away from the sack, but he gets enough to get a first down. They go down the field, touchdown, and now you're down. And so some of those third and long situations where you should have been off the field and they converted them, you know, that's a dagger, man, because you're deflating. You had the play.
Yeah.
You had him down. You had the running back down, and he's able to kind of continue to fight along and get the first down while you're knocking each other off. And it deflates you from a mental standpoint. And I think we saw some of that in the last two ball games.
Absolutely.
We were killers for this team.
Absolutely. Both Tyrod Taylor and Alex Smith were caught in the backfield, at least on two occasions.
Yep.
And both times they either had a big play or extended drives to get points.
Yep.
And, you know, anytime you're 50% the opposing offense against the Miami Dolphins defense on third down, you know, you're going to get more cracks at the plate. You're going to get more opportunities at the red zone. And even though the Dolphins were able to turn away Kansas City from touchdowns, seven times the Kansas City Chiefs were in the red zone, only four field goals come out of that. So you feel like Kansas City's dominating, but on the scoreboard you look up, hey, we're one drive away or one play away from being in a one-score game. And this game could go either way.
And look, it's particularly in the first half, the Dolphins moved the ball against Kansas City's defense.
They did.
You know, you knew Kansas City gave up points, and they moved the ball against them. But you had first series downs. You get the ball. You instead of deferring like they've done most of the time all year, you get the football. You're moving the ball down the field. You get a first down. Then you throw to Jarvis. He gets a nice gain, trying to pick up extra yards. Boom, gets the ball stripped. Turns into a turnover. What do? They take it right down
field
the field.
Goal.
And turn it into a field goal.
Right.
So there's one time with it that, you know, that who knows, that may have been a 10-point swing for him. And then you get it later on in the game where this time it's Kenny Stills. You're moving the ball down the field. You complete the pass. He's going for some extra yards. Boom, pull the ball out. Recovery by the Kansas City Chiefs. And there again goes another drive in which you left points that you had. You're going to get some points off both of those drives. Instead, you come away with nothing, and they put points on the board themselves.
And, Bo, both of those turnovers that you mentioned, you feel like the team had a lot of juice. You're going into the game at your first drive. You're moving the football. You give it to your most reliable guy on offense. And it looked like, you know, Jarvis had the ball on the inside, but it looked like once his helmet hit the backside of his own player, it kind of stalled him for a second, may have stunned him for a second, takes a big hit, the ball pounces up, and it goes right into the arms of a Kansas City defender. On the second turnover, it was when the Dolphins defense turned back the Chiefs on third down, on fourth down. They get an opportunity. They're moving the football. It's a big play offensively, and it's another deflating situation for the offense.
Yep.
You give up the football. Chiefs go back down, and it's just
kick a field goal. They
get points off of turnovers, and that's been the story of a plague season in terms of penalties, in terms of turnovers, and the way that the timing of those bad plays or misfortune go.
Yeah, and you know, it's funny because I remember talking about it during the offseason on this particular program, saying that, hey, you know, with as many close games that the Dolphins won in 2016, you say, you know, we could be a better football team in 2017 and still have a worse record than then. And only because of the closeness of the game. You drop one interception, you miss one field goal, and a couple wins from last year turn into
a couple of losses. And the caliber of talent that you end up playing when your season's not going real good. You know, I think last year's team, and you can't do this, but we're going to do it for argument's sake, last year's team does not find a way to lose against Tampa Bay and Oakland. They find a way to win on either side of the football, and then you throw in special teams. And you find a way to get one of these last two. I don't know how they do it, but they would have found a way to have a chance to win at the end of the football game. Didn't happen this year.
John, the other thing I'm going to throw your way is this offense, you know, one of the lowest point productions in the league, a vast difference from what we saw last year out of this football team. And, you know, certainly Adam Gase, you know, it's his baby. The offense is his baby. What did you see, you know, kind of generalization of this season offensively? And why this offense kind of, you know, was running on three tires, it seemed like, all year long?
Inconsistent quarterback play is number one. I think that's the biggest thing that sticks out in my mind. It was either good or really good or bad or really bad in terms of just staying on the field, getting plays together. As a play caller, you want to get that rhythm. You want to be able to get out there and find something you're doing well, diagnose what the defense is doing, and then attack it. I don't think the Miami Dolphins, and in particular their head coach, who's the play caller, Adam Gase, other than a couple of times this season, was able to find a lot of rhythm in terms of getting the ball to certain players, getting to certain aspects of his call sheet to be able to feel confident that we're good at what we're calling right now. And I think it started at quarterback. It filtered into the offensive line back and forth because at some points they were good. At some points they weren't very good. And then you take a look at the inconsistent running game, the lack of explosive plays in the offense. You got a couple of the last couple of weeks, but other than that, from Jakeem Grant, of all people, who wasn't really called on the entire season. So I just think that there's a number of areas offensively that you could call and say, you know what, wasn't as good as last year, was subpar from last year. But I think it starts from the quarterback play, and you could go right down the list of positions, and I don't know if they're on par with where they were last year.
The other thing, John, I think is you look at this game, you look at this season game by game, And I can really – the only game I can pull out of my back pocket and say where this Dolphin team played from ahead was the Denver game. But I think virtually every game this year, John, it seemed like you're climbing uphill damn near from the time you kick the ball off.
Right, and usually you don't get the football.
Right.
So, you know, your other team's getting that first score, and you're looking from how do we get this back? How do we get back in the game? How do we take a lead and hold a lead? There wasn't many times that the Dolphins actually took the lead back and then retained it or took the lead back for a quarter and a half. It was either if they got it back, the next drive was a score to put the Dolphins down again.
And kind of to me leads to me to the situation where, you know, offensively, if you can't get anything going, you're playing from behind. And now really there was a lot of games by the time you went into halftime, your second half, we just got to throw the ball and try to catch up. So from an Adam Gase standpoint, I think there's been very few times, John, where he's been able to get into his offense. And we saw some – really in the second half, we saw some pretty good play calling from Adam Gase at different times when he had the opportunity. But you can't – I don't think you can be as – I don't think you can be – have his play calling ability when you're playing catch up all the time, when you're playing from behind, when you're and then it seemed like the vast majority of times offensively, first down, instead of being first and six, second and six, second and seven, you're looking at second and 14, second and 15 because of pre-snap penalty, second and 9, second and 8. So, I mean, you're just slogging through the mud, it seemed like, all the time offensively. And it makes it hard to get into that play-calling scenario where you want to, you know, do whatever you want to do.
I think you look at the running game last year and you look at our success maybe on first down, that was probably the biggest thing that pinned the offense or stalled the offense from moving it and moving the football. Anytime you were able to control the ball on the ground, you're controlling the clock. This is a team, once it got close to the red zone and in the red zone, threw the football at the highest percentage of any other team in the National Football League. What does that tell us? It tells us that the offensive line in that running game wasn't – getting an opportunity, or when they had their opportunity, didn't do a very good job. So the play caller and Adam Gase decided, you know what, we got to throw the football to get in the end zone. We need to throw the football to get some points, because there's either too many negative runs or too many no gain runs in terms of red zone opportunities. Where last year, it seemed like with Jay and an offensive line that caught a little bit more rhythm, it was a run-first mentality or play-action mentality to get it to the tight end, which this year was non-existent.
Yeah, no doubt. Hey, so it's the Dolphins and the Bills. Game has been changed from 1 o'clock to 4:25, I believe, is the kickoff for that game, isn't it?
4:25? Yes, it is, yes.
And so and
wait a minute, Leon just nodded his head. We better
double-check.
No,
when I ask questions like that, I don't even look at Leon.
Maybe it was Jeff. Maybe it was Jeff that gave
you look at Leon, you go, Leon, is it 4:25? And he'll go,
yeah. It's the bobblehead. You get the bobblehead.
It's either or. Who cares at this point? It'll be either or. 4:25, whatever.
Yeah. Bobblehead. You know? They're going to come out with a Leon bobblehead.
Leon bobblehead, yeah. That won't, that won't work either.
Yes, no.
It'll be stuck and stiff. It'll be. So the Buffalo Bills come to town, 4:25 kickoff.
Takes a beating on this show.
Bills still have life in the playoff scenario. Here's what they've got to do. The Bills got a Bills win and a Raven loss, a Bills win and a Charger loss or tie, a Titan loss or tie, a Bills tie and a Chargers loss and tie. First of all, the Bills have to win.
Yes.
First of all, they got to win a football game. Chargers need to lose.
I don't think they're going to win.
And the Titans need to lose.
I don't think the Bills come down here and win for whatever reason.
Yep.
I think the Dolphins are going to win on Sunday.
Well, I think, you know, you harken back just to the New England game.
Yeah.
New England, and, you know, that's the one thing I haven't played – I don't recall ever playing in games where you played, you know, one team within 3 weeks, twice in 3 week period. But I would think that if you played the team twice in a 3 week period, you lost the first time. That's still an open wound when they come back.
And it's a tough –
especially if they're coming back to your place.
It's tough to repeat a victory over a team like that as well.
Yeah. So –
especially when you're not – a dominant football team, and Buffalo is not.
And there's one thing about the Buffalo Bills, you know. They're not a complicated football team. Stop LeSean McCoy.
Stop
Tyrod Taylor, and that's it. And you're done.
And
tackle
the
quarterback.
Well, I didn't
even – yeah, exactly.
So you got three on offense, right?
That's
it. You've got McCoy running the football. You've got Tyrod Taylor in a scramble and extending plays and find the tight end.
And two of those guys, the tight end and the quarterback, only play well when they play the Dolphins.
Well, that's so Pro Bowl material. You're right.
Yeah, so we got to get that worked out. But anyway, so look, we know what you got to do, and we know what they have to do. And look, I would like nothing better than to end this season off with a win, knock the Bills out of the playoffs, and go have some dinner.
Yeah, absolutely.
Call it a night.
Call it a night. Call it a season. Yep. Get ready to improve this football team, finding the areas and diagnosing where those players are at the Senior Bowl, at the Combine, and getting ready for free agency, because there's a lot of moves that the Miami Dolphins need to make to improve this team, and it's just not on the offensive side. We felt like last year they came in and made the necessary adjustments on defense. For a while, it seemed like it panned out.
Yep.
For a while on offense, you felt like the guard situation was going to be okay. Right now, I don't think they are either way in terms of linebackers, in terms of free agents that were brought in. I think you're going to still have to go back and scour the country and find out who fits your football team. And most importantly, find a guy on the offensive line that doesn't cost you a lot of money that can play the game for 16 weeks. That's important going forward.
No doubt. John, your evaluation process begins here pretty soon. You usually go to the Senior Bowl. When's the Senior Bowl? You heading out there this year?
Senior Bowl is the end of January. I haven't been told yet if I'm going to the Senior Bowl yet or not. But that's always a good week to go out and interview potential guys that are going to be on your roster to just take a look at practice, take a look at some of the guys you haven't seen. You know, I do, we were talking before the show, 18 or 19 or 20 games a year of college football. I get to see a lot of these guys, get to see a lot of the quarterbacks and wideouts. But you don't get to see a whole lot of the defensive tackle or the middle linebacker that maybe was from an obscure college that comes out and you go, man, that guy can play.
Yeah.
He's just as good as the other guy that's getting all the publicity.
Yeah, I always like – I've been there a few times. I always like going to the Senior Bowl, mostly because it's one-on-one. Just one-on-one drill. Watch offensive line versus defensive line, pass rushers versus pass blockers.
Wideouts and DBs. Absolutely.
Tight ends versus linebackers. Yeah. All the things that you like to see, the skill stuff. You're like, I'd much rather watch stuff from the Senior Bowl than watch stuff from the Combine, you know, at least in my mind. Yeah.
The only thing that's as valuable going to the Combine for the teams
is all the medical stuff.
Is the medical and the individual 15, 20 minutes, whatever you get with a player. That stuff is really good.
Yeah, no doubt.
That we don't ever get to see.
No.
Yeah.
Let's go to Jason Stavros on Facebook here. You guys laughed when I said play fails 2 weeks ago, what about it now? I still laugh at you for that. I don't laugh at you. I just don't think that David Fales' future is going to be with the Miami Dolphins. I don't see him coming back. Look, I think there may be a scenario
that the whole room's gone.
Yes, I think there may be a scenario in this, albeit Ryan Tannehill. Everybody in that room right now may be gone this offseason.
You could draw up that case and win a bet.
Yeah.
I think you could, because not that Jay Cutler or Matt Moore or David Fales or, you know, Brandon Doughty or Ryan Tannehill matter. Yeah. You can throw all those guys in the mix. If it's not the right scenario, you could go 0-5.
Yeah.
And start fresh at the position, because you've got three guys coming out you may have a chance at, or at least two of the three you may have a chance at. So, and there's probably another two guys that you may want to be able to bring in if Ryan Tannehill stays and is your quarterback in 2018.
I think that again, you find, you know, that, you know, that those three or four guys that the Dolphins are going to come up with in the draft, that much like this season, you know, you had Vincent Taylor, you had Gotcha, you had Tankersley,
right,
all play. You had the middle linebacker.
Yeah, McMillan.
No. The free agent from Northern.
Chase Allen.
Yeah, Chase Allen, another rookie who no one expects. So, I mean, if you come out with four or five other more rookies that can step in, then it's a big deal. But and one of those may very well be a quarterback, and I think that's going to be the interesting watch between now and post draft, is what the Dolphins do quarterback wise.
Well, it's interesting, Bo, because if you take a look at it from a coaching perspective, you've had a guy on your practice squad now
for two years,
and anytime there's a tweak at the position that's starting, he's not the guy that gets elevated.
Yep.
You can't hide him now on the practice roster, taking away your evaluation of Brandon Doughty. That's just the reality of what's happened. So now you have to find a new guy.
And David Fales falls into the same exact situation.
He's on the same train.
Once he can't fall back to that practice squad, then he becomes –
Your value becomes lessened.
You may love that guy, but he's a difficult guy to keep because of that situation. Because, look, I don't care what you say. And look, I'm not laughing at you for saying David failed, but it just doesn't make sense, because if the chances of him being here next year are really, I would say at this point, about 5%, then what's the point of playing him? There's no point. You know, you paid
$10 million,
might as well get all your 10.
That's
it's like having a bubble gum machine with 100 balls in it, and you got 100 pennies. And when you get down to 95, you go, I'm going to save these pennies. I don't want any more gumballs.
Right.
Why not? You already got most of it out of it.
You're going to get a new machine next year.
That's exactly it. Someone's going to fill it up again. Facebook, Perry Gerald, isn't it very important to pick a quarterback early in the draft? Seems like I spent a good part of this weekend with Nat Moore, with Joe Rhodes, with Jimmy Cephalo, with different guys in the organization. And the topic of quarterback seemed to be, you know, very high on everybody's list. And part of that topic was, do you draft a quarterback in the draft? I say yes.
Yes.
The question comes in, where do you draft him?
Wherever the best player.
Sixth, seventh, fifth, where?
You draft him in accordance where you think he's going to be able to have the most impact for your organization.
Yeah.
If it's the first pick of the Miami Dolphins in the first round, you pick him there.
Yeah.
If it's second, if it's third round, wherever it is.
You say if you believe in that guy.
If you believe that that's the quarterback that's going to start or that has the potential to start this year, next year, the year after, you pick him wherever he's at.
I'm with you. If it's a guy, because you know who there's Darnold.
You got Rosen, Darnold. You got the guy from Wyoming,
Allen. Wyoming.
You've got a lot of guys. You got Mason Rudolph, the guy I'm going to see from Oklahoma State.
Yeah, so you've got four guys to me that are first round guys right there that you just talked about. Now let's say we're
at 16.
We're not going to be at 16. We're probably going to be somewhere around. Well, we're like 11 now, right?
Right.
So we're going. Yeah, maybe
12 right now.
14?
No, wait a minute.
If we win, it could be 14, or we're 14 now.
Saw the head, right?
Yeah, I saw it.
Okay.
So we're somewhere in that ballpark anyway. But the point I'm getting at is where you, if you've got a guy that everyone else is projecting is going to be a third round quarterback,
right?
And you say, you know what?
You mean like Russell Wilson?
I believe in that guy.
Like Russell Wilson.
Or Dak Prescott.
Or Dak Prescott.
And you say, you know what?
Right.
I believe in that guy. and we got the 15th pick in the first round, I'm taking that guy because I believe fully that guy can be our franchise quarterback. And I'm all for that. I'm all for that kind of thing at any position.
In order for that to happen, the Miami Dolphins as an organization need to go put their big boy pants on and say, this is what I believe in.
Yeah,
and not worry about, well, you know what? A lot of other people are saying he's not the guy. Yeah. If you believe in that guy, then that comes down to Mike Tannenbaum and Chris Greer and Adam Gase all getting together and saying, this is our guy. We're going all in at quarterback because we believe this is a difference maker.
Yeah.
Just as Seattle did and just as the Dallas Cowboys did.
Although, look, they passed on him in early rounds.
But these guys – you're right. They had their chance to get him because they kept sliding.
Right.
You got to get him. But I'm saying if it's the Dolphins at 11 or 12 or 13 and that guy is there.
Then take him.
You better take him.
Because I've just seen too many times where you feel like you want to get after this guy. You go, you know what, if we can get him in the next – no one's you know, the way the draft has gone, you know, we can get him in the next round. And then, sure enough, just before you're picking the next round,
someone
takes the guy. So I'm a firm believer right now at this point in the draft, whether you're in the first round or the third round or the fifth round or the seventh round. If you believe in that guy at that point and he's projected five rounds behind you, but you believe in that guy, damn it, do it. You know,
well,
like you said, pull up your pants, do it, and say that's my guy.
I think that's the difference. At this point, the Miami Dolphins need to hit some home runs.
Yeah.
And they need to do it, and not that they have in the past. And you mentioned all the guys that were picked last year, all the rookies that played some significant roles on this football team and that are going to play significant roles
going
in
forward,
the future of this football team. And didn't get to see Raekwon McMillan.
Yep.
You know, going to get to see him next year. Going to get to see more of Charles Harris at the defensive end position. Going to get to see more of Tankersley at corner. Allen potentially at linebacker. Maybe Asiata if he gets off the redshirt year and plays at one of the guard positions. We'll get to see some of those picks in their second year with more experience. So that's what needs to happen in the 2018 draft. You need to get really good at who you're selecting and have those guys make an impact in year one.
Yeah, no doubt. Brent Stadden on Facebook. Why does our defense – oh, no, here's what I want to – it's Bob Hellebrand. What did Shula do that Gase doesn't do to reduce the penalties? You know, to me, this is a little bit of a – this answering this question to me is a little bit of a change in the league in particular. With Shula, look, I don't care if you committed a penalty on a practice field or if you committed a penalty anywhere.
It was unacceptable.
It was unacceptable. It was absolutely unacceptable. And he was more of a – I mean, he would let you know in no uncertain terms what he thought about it. And, look, I guarantee I could pull up 25 guys and have them stand here in a row.
They'd all
say the same thing, you know, and say to them, hey, let me ask you a question. If – the question is this: if it's a third down and
three,
it's third down and 10, and we complete a pass for 12 yards in a first down, and you get called for a holding penalty, and it takes the play back.
20.
What are you thinking about when you go to the sideline? And the answer would always be: my first thought is, can I go to the other sideline? Because I don't want to come over to our sideline.
Right.
Because you know what's standing there waiting for you. And to me, it's consequence. There's consequence. You got to – but, look, it's a different day. It's a different age. I don't think – you know, the days of the Paul Browns and the Tom Landrys and the Don Shulas and some of those coaches who were very strong, disciplined guys, I don't know that you get away with that these days, John, with free agency and everything that goes on and the ability for players to move. Back then you had – but I do think if you're trying to cut down penalties, you've got to emphasize every time. They got referees out on the field here for every practice. Guy calls a penalty, stop damn practice and let everyone know this is unacceptable. This is you know, and
I've got a little bit of a theory on why I think you see a lot of offensive procedure or pre-snap penalties.
Yeah.
In college football, there really is no snap count.
Right.
In college football, there really is no play call.
Right.
You're looking at the sidelines, looking at pitchers and cards. You're getting one word plays that mean a number of things to different people. You've got four coaches telling each position what to do, and the snap count very rarely changes.
Yep.
It's either claps, or it's multiple claps and then you stop and then you go back to a cadence. When you come to the National Football League, you've got wordy play calls in the huddle that's coming into the quarterback that's happening in the huddle or at the line of scrimmage, but at a different tempo. And I don't think guys really concentrate on what the snap count is, to be honest with you. And I think it's there's a lot of different terminology that guys don't have to worry about in college when they get here.
Yep.
They don't adjust to it very well.
Yeah, and like it, to me it goes all the way down to holding penalties, holding on defense, you know, those kind of things where a guy, instead of, you know, instead of getting your body in somebody, instead of moving your feet, you do the reach. And I know this, when you reach in football, you're out of position, and the vast majority of times it's not going to work. Either the guy's going to run through your arm, or you're going to hold somebody, or you're going to end up grabbing a face mask or something. So, you know, to me, the key on move your feet and get in front with your body. Don't be reaching, because that creates a lot of problems. So a lot of different ways to reduce penalties. But what Shula did was he didn't give you any choice but to reduce penalties, because if not –
You're sitting standing next to him.
I'll just go back to Brett Staden. Why does our defense consistently give up big plays? Is it lack of talent or undisciplined players? I think it's execution. I don't think we've got a lack of talent on this football team.
And
I don't think
knowing where you're supposed to be.
I don't think the discipline's there. I do this. The more I've watched this team this year, the more I'd like to see them in man-to-man coverage than zone. It seems like when they're in zone, it's just there's so many holes. There's a lot of space. But yet when they're in man-to-man, even when they catch a ball, it's a catch tackle.
Right.
You know, whereas I've seen too many plays in the zone where it's a catch.
Missed tackle
and a long run after that.
Catch, yeah.
So, but that's just my own personal thought there. Bill Schoonover, Bo, do you think Gay's just as good a disciplined coach? He seems to never show emotion towards players during the game. Well, look, I give you this. I'll give you Jay Ajayi Stanholm in Seattle last year. I give Dallas Thomas and who was the other one?
Billy Turner.
Cut after a bad game. I give you
Jay Ajayi in Philly now.
Jay Ajayi in Philly right now. What was our cornerback that went back to Seattle?
Byron Maxwell.
Byron Maxwell, who got benched last year, got set on the bench this year. He is a disciplinarian kind of a guy. But I know this, when on game day, just much like Don Shula was, when game day Shula handled the offense, Bill Arnsbauer handled the defense. And when the offense was on field, Arnsy was over with us talking defense. And when the defense was in the field, Shoes was over talking to his quarterbacks and offense about what they were doing. So don't misconstrue, you know, what a guy's doing. Now, it'd be different if Gaze was just a head coach and had an offensive coordinator and a defensive coordinator. He, in essence, is the offensive coordinator on that football team. So he's getting ready with play call. What are we going to do if this? So I don't have a problem with that, and with him. And look, he talks to the players. I mean, he doesn't show emotions. Just get that clip of him and Jarvis on the sideline.
He talked to Jarvis a little while when he went by him.
No doubt.
Pretty good.
Okay, let me see. TJ back. Watched 2016 Ryan Tannehill highlight video. Can't wait to get him back next year. I'm with you on that. You give me the Ryan Tannehill of 2016, the running Ryan Tannehill of 2016, the conservative Ryan Tannehill of 2016, yet a guy that was able to throw the ball deep down the field and give you a lot of big chunk plays, and I take him every day of the week right now.
He was pretty good.
Yes.
If you put the goggles on, so I'm looking forward to seeing Ryan. We've seen him pregame working out. He looks good. He's going through his drops, throwing the ball with a lot of velocity. So you're hoping he's on track to be the quarterback next season.
All right, that's going to do it for today. John Kajemi.
Appreciate it,
Bo. Kimbo Camber with you. We're going to be back with you tomorrow.
Happy New Year to everybody.
We'll be back tomorrow afternoon at 4 o'clock. So it's going to be a back-to-back. We got a back-to-back, our first back-to-back of the year. We might have Logan.
We might have Logan
host the show.
Logan better get hydrated. Huh? We better get hydrated.
Yeah, I'm not sure if those are shorts or just short jeans or short pants that Logan's wearing right there.
Those are Logan's crops.
Huh?
He calls them the crops.
Crop shorts?
Yeah.
Okay.
Crop shorts.
All right. All right, look, that's going to do it for the show today. I hope everyone had
He's going to turn us off before you say goodbye.
I hope everyone had a Merry Christmas. I hope your holidays are going well, and we're all looking forward to a Happy New Year. If we can't get with you on tomorrow, on Friday, hope you have a Happy New Year. But we'll be back in tomorrow. Take care.